this series on building our home, dealing with the matter of the media that we're involved in and the technology that we have in our lives today. And if you remember, I mentioned that technology is here whether we like it or not. And it's not a matter of deciding whether the media itself is sinful, but it's a matter of learning how to apply biblical principles to that area of our life to make it something that God can use. And so the idea today and last week has been to introduce principles that help us when dealing with these issues in our lives, specifically when we're talking about media. And I mentioned last week that by way of introduction, we've got a lot of facts, statistics, things that will help us to see the scope of what we're talking about here. And it really is then something that we have need of. And I think we left off, if not mistaken, with number one, and the number one principle that we find, and that is the principle to prove. Do you all have that? Number one, prove. Okay. I couldn't remember exactly how far we got last week, so I didn't mark it down. But you want to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians 5. Again, it's amazing how the Word of God is applicable to our situations today if we'll just look at the principles. And we can see that God's Word applies even to this area of media and what it is that we are facing in our culture in this generation. So, Ephesians chapter 5, and I want you to join me if you would on verse number 8, and we're going to read some of these together if we can. We're going to read from 8 down to verse number 13, if we can, this morning, all together out loud, all right? Everybody have it there in your Bibles? All right. Just for sake of continuity, make sure, you know, we're following along there, and I'd like for all of us to see that, all right? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, everyone together, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And there's the key that we're going to be talking about today in a little bit. I want to leave you with that thought, but we'll talk about that in just a moment. So, I said number one, the key to solving, taming, controlling the media that we are involved in today is number one, the principle of proving. And I want you to see that we prove. The word prove there means to test or examine, to deem worthy, as in the testing of metals. And the idea there, and I left you with the illustration of how people test for things. You take gold in, and they're going to determine how valuable that gold is, and there's tests that they use to determine how genuine it is. You see, all metal that looks like gold is not gold. I hope you know that. And they have ways of testing whether that's true or not. And so the same principle as a Christian involves testing, proving. Okay, so let me say this. Here we have something that comes into our life, all right? It's technology. And that technology is something that we just kind of receive because it's there. But the Bible says, like everything else, we need to test it. We need to prove it. I need to make sure that what I'm doing, how I'm using it, what it's being used for, the amount of time in my life that it is requiring, is it proven by the Word of God to be worthy? Do you understand what I'm saying? The fact that I can and the fact that it's there doesn't necessarily mean it's right. Okay, now that's the case with all of things in life. Because that I can do something doesn't mean I should, all right? And the fact that I have an opportunity or it's there doesn't mean that it's right to do. And so the same is true with this idea of technology. Because I have something that I can do or can use doesn't necessarily mean it's right. We have to have the right principle on this. And it's a personal thing. We all have to deal with that individually, all right? Some people draw the line at, you know, it's not good for me at all, and they have no part of it. That's great. Some people say, well, I've got, this is a very integral part of my life and I need this, but these are going to be my standards. That's great. As long as the proving part is based on the Word of God, all right? And that it's right in these principles. Now, how do we do this? I'll give you a couple tests, and I may have given you this one already, but we test it, number one, by the Spirit. We test by the Spirit. The Spirit is obviously God's Word. And notice in verse number 8 there, the Bible says, we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Then verse 9, 4. All right, so as we are in the light, then the Bible says that there is a natural result then, something that's already there. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all, and then it lists a couple things there. What is the first thing? It's in all goodness. Number two, it's in all righteousness. Number three, it's in all truth. So we have right there the tests of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit that we see, the evidence of the Spirit is going to be in these vessels. Number one, the Bible says in verse number 9 there, goodness. Is what you're doing good? Is it in the vessel of goodness? You know, that takes out a lot of things. Gossip. Bullying. Inappropriate viewing. All right, now, a lot of these things are, they cover different areas as well. But the point is it good? The fact here of goodness is this uprightness of heart and life. Kindness, goodness, just a quality of being good. That's what we're talking about. And I think we can see as Christians, can't you? You can see when something is good and when something's not good. I mean, we know that. That's not something we have to be confused over. So the idea there is that the testing of the Spirit is something that we need to see. Number one, we walk by the Spirit's light. In your notes there, we walk by the Spirit's light. Because the fact of the matter is that when the Spirit is in control of our lives, the Bible says in Galatians 5, that the truths of our Christian lives are very evident when the Holy Spirit's in control. That means I can make a decision on what is right and wrong based on what the Holy Spirit is teaching me. The question is, are you listening? Is what the Holy Spirit telling you something that you're hearing? Are you tuned into the Holy Spirit's teaching in your life? It's amazing what people would do on a TV or on a computer screen that they would never do in public. It's amazing what people would say on a computer screen, and they would never say it to a person's face. Because what they're saying is that they, and this drives me almost insane, all right? And here it is. People are going to write something, and they're going to post something, and they have all kinds of rants. I think I've mentioned this already. And, then they sign their name, Eagle 24 or something, or Superman 850 or whatever. Who are you? What are you trying to say? People will say things like that. Because of the fact that there's an anonymity about it, and I'm just saying that's not the fruit in goodness, all right? That's not what God is dealing with. Now, I think there's times to say things and so forth, but if you got something to say, say it and put your name on it. Tell somebody, and let's be real, all right? That's the idea of walking in the Spirit's light. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Turn over there if you would. Keep your finger in Ephesians. But John 16 gives us this idea, and I this is still kind of introduction. We're going to move ahead here very quickly. I mean by that, we've already covered it last week. John 16 and verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. By the way, the Holy Spirit is a man. He's a person. Amen? Not a force, not a whatever. He's a person. The Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Do you remember that this idea of being children of light is involved, or truth is involved in this idea of being a children of light, child of light? Remember last week we said light makes manifest. This is going to be the underlying key this morning, that something that's light is not darkness. Something that's light is not hidden. If it's hidden, it's wrong. If it's secret, it's wrong. All right? And that's what we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. But we walk in the Spirit's light. That means I have understanding. I can see. I can know what's good and so forth. Number two, we don't just walk by the Spirit's light, we walk by the Spirit's guidance. Can I say today that every time that you have access to some media device, you need to be as Spirit-filled on that as you are in any other area of your life. And I hope you're Spirit-filled in some areas where you are walking in your life, in all areas. For instance, if I'm on some, social media site, should I be as Spirit-filled when I'm writing or watching something on there as I am when I'm out witnessing to someone? Absolutely. Should I have the same standards of, Spirit-filled life that the Bible talks about in Galatians chapter 5 as I do in any other area? Absolutely. We need to have Spirit-filled, posters on Facebook, if that's what it is. We need to have Spirit-filled people that are emailing in the right way and viewing in the right way. It's the guidance of the Holy Spirit that we're talking about, that the Bible is warning us about. The Bible teaches us to flee youthful lusts. And that idea is that we're going to walk away from those things that would cause us to have a downfall and a difficulty in that way. And in our culture that we're living in, this really is a stronghold issue. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, let me just explain. Stronghold is something that has control in your life. Something that you don't have control of, but it has control of you. And a stronghold issue is many different areas, but specifically today, it's a stronghold issue in our young people and unfortunately in some adults as well. Let me just be more specific. I don't know how our brain works. I don't know how all this works, but I know this, that the internet and the connections and the thrill of seeing something there and wondering what's there is really addictive to a person's mind. It really is. And just like any other thing, it needs to be tempered with the Holy Spirit's guidance. Now, I'm just as guilty as anybody else, but I'm just saying if you're not careful, it can steal time. All right? And it's guilty. Even if you're not morally wrong in things, it steals time. And Christian, let me say today, let me not make it so general. Broadview Heights Baptist Church, listen today, all right? We need to be careful that in our lives that this stronghold issue of the media doesn't steal our time. Because the Bible says that we need to be stewards of the time that God's given to us. And we need to have that under control, the Holy Spirit's guidance, because it does steal time. It steals people's innocence. It steals people's minds. It steals people's affections. It steals all kinds of things today. And if we're not careful and we don't have those things under control, it's going to take us to places that we don't want to go. Stronghold issues need to be dealt with, and they need to be brought down. Bringing down strongholds, the Bible says. They can't be allowed to continue because it is something that is going to destroy. Anything that has a hold on you is a stronghold in your life. Now, young people, I think we're more prone to this than the older generation. But let me tell you today, it doesn't matter who we are, that stronghold issue needs to be dealt with, all right? And it needs to be under control because we are led by the Spirit's guidance. We're walking in that. And again, going back to this idea of verse number 9, we said goodness. This fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, but it's in all righteousness. The word right here is integrity, virtue. It's the idea of purity of life, correctness of thinking, feeling, acting right in these ways. That's the idea of righteousness. And then lastly, truth, that which is true in any matter under consideration. What's true in things appertaining to God and the duties of men, moral and religious truth. So let me just say, a good way to be guided by the Spirit's truth is this. Let's ask three questions. I'm going to say it first, then I want you to repeat it after me, all right? Is it good? Is it right? Is it true? Ready? Is it good? Is it right? Is it true? That's a good, simple test, isn't it? What I'm doing right now, what I'm sitting doing, what I have in my hands, what I'm looking at, let's ask three questions when it comes to this. All right, remember, what are we doing? What's the main principle here we're talking about? We are proving. Did you see that? We're proving. How do we prove it? We're walking in the Spirit's light, in the Spirit's guidance. Let's ask three questions. Ready, together. Is it good? Is it right? Is it true? Let's just nail it down, shall we? One more time. Is it good? All right, I think we're getting it. It's a good thing to ask ourselves, according to Ephesians 5, verse 9. So, moms and dads, young people, anyone, is it good? Is it right? Is it true? And this kind of a test of the Spirit is something that God wants us to use to prove what we're doing. All right, number two. I said number one, we test by the Spirit. Number two, we test by the Scripture. We test by the Scripture. Notice verse 10 in Hebrews 5, or I keep saying Hebrews, I'm sorry, my mind is in Hebrews. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 10. Notice the Bible says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, here again, we're proving, but I want you to see that the test is by Scripture. The test isn't by convenience. The test isn't by accessibility or opportunity. The test is by Scripture. Now, let me make that practical. I can sit down and I can tell myself, well, you know, I deserve some time here because I've done, you know, a lot of hard work. Or, you know, this is my job. Or, you know, I need to have this. Those things may be true in our lives. But can I say that's not the test that we need to put it to? And specifically, when we're talking about media, when we're talking about current technology and social media and all the things that go into that, we need to have the test of Scripture that needs to be priority. Priority. Notice, first of all, the Bible says acceptable there. The word acceptable is the word well-pleasing. It's the idea of this the idea of this world is not just getting by, not just kind of squeaking in or fulfilling just what I need to, but it's excelling. It is actually going above and beyond. It's the idea of excellence. So to prove then, the Bible says what we do, according to the Scripture, it needs to be acceptable or well-pleasing to the Lord. I tell you, Christian, that would take away a lot of our habits, a lot of our concerns, we might say, when it comes to technology, because if we just say, is the Lord well-pleased with this? We're going to be talking about pleasing the Lord in the morning service again. Is the Lord well-pleased with this? It's this idea of proving by the Scripture. So many times what we do and what we have, what we partake in, is not proven by Scripture, and it's not tested, and it's not considered excellent or acceptable for the Lord or to the Lord. Notice in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10, I'm not sure you have this in your notes, if you don't, just write it down there, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Philippians 1 verse 10. John 17:17, the Bible says, as Jesus is praying his high priestly prayer, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. That idea is setting apart because of excellence. Now, again, in the world we live, this is something that we have to make very purposeful. We have to make it absolutely on purpose. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, there's a way for us to go through life just kind of clueless when it comes to what's going on. The Bible says we can't do that. We have to be circumspect. We have to be on guard and understanding how true that is. The Word of God, then, as we understand, is the standard for all we do. Notice 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, or for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, the point is that everything needs to be tested by Scripture. All right? We test it by the Holy Spirit. We test it by Scripture. That's how we prove what is right and acceptable in our lives. So, these things are very important. But then there's one more test when it comes to this idea of the media and really proving something, all right? We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God, the Scripture. Number three, we have the test by sanctification, or the test of sanctification. Now, this is really where we start getting down to the nitty-gritty, all right? So, let me give you some details here. Go back to verse number 3, if you would, in Ephesians 5. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, but let's read that together, shall we? Is everybody at verse 3? Here we go. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now, I just want to wake us up here a little bit, all right? I don't want us to be sleeping. I don't mean by that physically. I'm talking about spiritually. I want to wake us up just a minute. I want to say we need to be understanding that what we do as a Christian, now, that's what I'm appealing to. If you know the name or name the name of Christ and you're on your way to heaven today, then what we do has direct implications in our sanctification, and that is a test by which we need to apply everything we do. The Spirit, yes. The Scripture, absolutely. Sanctification cannot be minimized. So let's just get down to it. When it comes down to it, there are certain things that Christians just ought not to look at, and certain places that Christians just ought not to go, and certain things that Christians ought not to hear. Why? Because we're being sanctified by Christ in order to have to be what He wants us to be. And so there are just some things that we need to set apart in our lives. And I'm not talking from ignorance. I understand the implications here and the temptations and the things. I'm just saying we need to wake up. And sometimes that's a process, and it's taken me some time to wake up in some areas. But you know, when the Bible gives us some truth, then we are walking circumspectly, and we can look at these things and say, you know what, this just isn't good. And sometimes it takes someone coming along and saying, you know what, this just isn't good. And then you realize, wake up, yeah, that's right. And then you realize that, you know what, though it may pass the test of acceptableness or whatever it might be, if it doesn't pass the test of sanctification, I ought not to be involved in it at all. You say, well, I'm not really affected by that or whatever. Listen, the Bible says, let not fornication. Now, that covers a lot of things. That's a big word there that we kind of say, well, we're not going to be part of that. But you know what? We'd be really surprised at what we would see is fornication in a person's life. And I don't have time today in Sunday school to take us through that. But you know, God's standards start where? And not in our actions, but in our minds. And in our heart. That's where God's standards start. So it's not just what I do or what I say. It's what I think and what I believe. That's where God's standards start, and that's where we need to make our protections. And the test of sanctification needs to start there. Uncleanness. Boy, that's a pretty broad word. Anything unclean. Anything that violates Scripture and the purity that God has in the Scripture. And then the Bible says covetousness. Oh man, I tell you what, the world system today is all about covetousness. You see it, the whole advertising scheme, the whole thrust of materialism and putting things out there, you'd be amazed at how different our culture is today than it was even 50 years ago. I mean, I'm just shocked, and I mean, I'm part of this culture, so I don't even see it clearly, but I'm just amazed at the materialism of the world today. And the covetousness, and what is it all about? Because there's so much to see, so much to involve ourselves in. Listen, don't let it be named among you. There's a test of sanctification that we need to have. And Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The conversation is our manner of life, that which we live out. Let it be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. Notice, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Boy, what a tremendous testimony. Instead of hearing people that are in trouble and going down different roads and having to resign because of difficulty and improprieties and sin, instead we hear of people that are living for the Lord in a spirit of unity and truth. Boy, what a blessing that is. Wouldn't that be great? That's what we are talking about here, this test of sanctification. Romans 6:13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, let me just make it very clear here and bring some application. If in this matter of social media, I know there's a lot of other media opportunities, but let's just talk about social media just a minute. Because in this area of social media, especially talking about Facebook and Twitter and other areas where I'm not even aware of perhaps, but those are the big ones. Let me just bring some thoughts to you here with regard to this test of sanctification. Number one, I want you to see that you need to have a checklist of standards concerning the use of social media in your life. What is your standard about that? In other words, what will you allow yourself to do? What will you not allow yourself to do? And by the way, fear of unknown is not a good reason not to do or to do something, okay? It needs to be based on the Word of God. And so the thing I'm talking to you about today is let's just make a standard in your life about what you're going to do. And it may look different than somebody else. I'm not saying we need to compare standards. All of them need to be based on the Word of God. But let's have standards in this area of social media and a checklist. This is what's right. This is what's not right. This is what I'll allow. This is what I will not allow. By the way, there's controls on all of those things. All right? You can control that. You ought to have your, if you have a Facebook account or whatever, you ought to have it set to private. In other words, you're not going to have it open to everybody. If you need to realize that the posts that you put on, no matter where they are, whatever you do electronically is permanent. Do you understand that? Permanent. There is a shelf life. People who want to find those things can find those things, including, all kinds of things. It's there, all right? And I'm just saying that you need to realize the permanence of things that we put out there. And so as Christians, what we put out there needs to be something that glorifies the Lord, all right? And having a standard about that is very important. What I'm going to put out there for myself is something that I want to be very careful of. And so I'm thankful today. Back when we started on Facebook, you know, and so forth, and we, by the way, it can be a wonderful tool. We stay in touch with people all around the world, and I'm thankful for my wife. She's kind of been the one that has limited all of that, and, you know, we have people that are very much encouraging, all right, to us. You know, people that put encouraging things on, and from time to time we've had to weed people out that are very discouraging. But you know, most of what we see is things that are people in the ministry, and they're being, or maybe some encouraging aspect or whatever. It's a blessing, is what I'm saying. So our standard is that we're only going to allow things on there that are going to be encouraging to us, because that's something that we want to have, and appropriate. That's very important as well. Things need to be appropriate, what we're putting out there. By the way, If we're Christians, don't you think we need to have Christian things on our websites or pages or whatever? Don't you agree with that? Now, I'm not saying everything has to be, but I'm just saying there ought to be a limit of what we allow. I'm just shocked sometimes when I see people posting things, and you know, it'll be from a certain website or something, and I'm like, I don't think it's safe going there. Even if that particular thing is not wrong, it's just like, wow, that's not... Listen, Christians, we need to have a certain appearance. You say, Pastor, are you emphasizing appearance? I'm not emphasizing. I'm just saying it's important. And it needs to be right. Now, it needs to come from our heart, but we need to protect what's on there. By the way, if it's just a selfish thing, like the fact that, you know, almost 100% of employers today, I'm guessing, before they hire somebody, you know what? I've heard that they look at social media content. Now, if what they see on there is something that is going to distract from that, listen, that's not a good situation. And if employers have that kind of standards, why don't we as Christians have that kind of standards? You know, you shouldn't be putting on things that are going to be discouraging to other people, especially emphasizing sin and the world's vernacular. And there is a world's vernacular. Did you know that? There's a world's kind of vocabulary, and there's a Christian vocabulary. And I'm just saying, as Christians, we need to have a Christian vocabulary. And I don't mean by that the cussing and all the other things. That's taken for granted. We ought to have that. I'm just saying that these things are important. And the idea of our social media there is we need to have a standard. We need to have a standard by which we are going to live. And it ought to abide by those. And if you don't understand what those controls are on there and you're afraid of that, listen, I understand. And, you know, by all means, don't get involved in something you don't know about. But there are people that can help you to know how to set those things so that they are appropriate and right. All right? There's ways to do that. I'm just saying it needs to be appropriate. It needs to be right in those ways. Now, let me just give you a couple other things. I don't know what number we're on here, but bullying is never okay. Bullying is never okay. I know that our families are a little more strict than most as far as what they allow, and I'm very thankful for that. And I hope that there's never an opportunity for people to bully one another. It's a scourge among young people today that have unreined access or unfettered access, especially in the public school system, but even in Christian circles, bullying is a huge problem, and it's never right. Kids, it's never right to say something about someone else that's unkind or even not true and for the sake of bringing them down, okay? Never right. It's very wrong, very antichrist, but it's never right, and we need to guard that. And lastly, in this area, moderation is the key in all things, isn't it? Okay, so let's say we put everything in order. We've got our standards. We've got everything set. We're protected. Everything's there. Listen, there's still the avenue of unfettered, use or whatever. Moderation is the key. Listen, parents, you have the right as parents to govern the use of your children, and we have the right to govern our own selves. We need to make sure that we are being moderate in how we use it, all right? Not excessive, because that sends a wrong message if we're excessive in those things. And we need to have that moderation is the key. Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The word moderation there is the control. Let your self-control be known to all men. It ought to be well known. I have control over this issue. It's not something that's overtaking. It's not something that I can't control. And by the way, that's a process sometimes, but you need to grow in that process, like we all are, all right? Moderation. Active parents, stay involved, all right? They will limit and control the amount of time and the content that their children, their families are able to be on these things. And so we need to be active and involved in that, parents. We have kids coming up that are not ignorant of these things. Do you understand that today? Just because you're ignorant of it and I'm ignorant of it doesn't mean they are. They are living in a world where this is all around them. And it's very natural, very intuitive. It's governed for ease of use. They figure it out quickly. We need to stay on the cutting edge, parents. And let me say this. You say, well, I'm not on the cutting edge. I understand that. That's great. And it's no problem. But find somebody who is that can inform you of things. And I'm staying up to date on some things. There's newsletters and other Christian resources that kind of put out notices about this is a danger, this is a new app that's very dangerous, and this is something that you don't want to be a part of as a Christian and other things because it looks like it's a one thing, but it's not. And by the way, there's lots of that. And I hate to say it this morning, but there are app manufacturers and programmers that are programming apps, applications for smartphones for the purpose of deceiving parents. All right, and deceiving spouses and other things. And it's just we've got to stay on the cutting edge and making sure that we're aware of those things. So give a real quick parenting thought as we go and finish number one here about proving. Parents, take some time this week and give your family a technology test. Where's everybody at in this? You need to look at things. Look at your computers and look at your smartphones and tablets and everything else. And you just need to take stock of where you are and where everybody else is. If you don't know how to do that, find somebody who does. We've got people in church that can do that. They can help you with those things. Find out where you are on those things as a family. What's the history? What's the favorites? Where have they been? Now, you might have all those controls in place, praise the Lord. But you need to know as parents where everybody is. And I encourage you to do that this week and stay involved there. All right, let me give you number two, and we'll go as far as we can this morning. Number two, the second principle when it comes to taming the media monster here is to reprove. Reprove. You said number one is proving. Number two is reproving. Look, if you would, at verse number 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them. Reprove them. All right, so how are we going to reprove them? Well, let me just give you this real quick before we're finished here this morning. You know, sometimes it's going to happen where we're on social media or something, and with the connectedness of the day, pretty much anybody can find you. And, I know this because I know now that there's a Joel Royalty who lives in Kentucky, and he's a professor in Kentucky. It's, I think, University of Kentucky or something. His name is Joel Royalty. Can you believe that? And he emailed me one day and said, hey, this is really weird, but your name's Joel Royalty and my name's Joel Royalty. I wonder if we're related. You know, we found out we're not. We've been contacting a little bit here and there over the years. But the point is, anybody can find you. And it may be that someone that you grew up with or someone that you used to have a flame or some connection with or something is going to find you and it's going to come across your path. I'm just saying that there needs to be a time that we set up this standard of, okay, what are we going to do when that happens? Or it might be that there are some efforts to reach out to a young person, maybe on the internet or something, unsolicited request for information or to meet or something like that. What happens in that situation? What do we do when something like that happens? Well, these things are something that we need to be proactive in and we need to reprove as a Christian. And before I go any farther here, I think we'll stop because I think it's important for us to be together. I think we'll wait until we move on just a little bit farther. There's some ways to reprove it, and I'm looking forward to sharing these with you this week, this next week as we get together. How do we reprove the works of darkness? And let me give them to you real quick, then I'll explain them. Can I do that? All right, I hate for you to walk away with no answers today. Number one, you need to reprove them by declaring your loyalty to Christ. Letter A, declaring your loyalty to Christ. Number two, letter B there, and we'll go back over these next week. By refusing advances of darkness. Number two, you reprove them by refusing the advances of darkness. All right? And I'll explain that in a little bit as we get into them. But those are the two ways that we reprove the works of darkness in our lives regarding media here. And we'll talk about that in the weeks to come. All right? All right. Hopefully you've been encouraged today a little bit and awakened a little bit. And may God help us as we go through our lives that we might be vigilant on this. It's a battle every day. It's something we need to be vigilant on. It doesn't have to overcome us. It doesn't have to defeat us. Just like anything else in life, we don't have to be overwhelmed. We're more than conquerors, but we've got to apply the Word of God as it applies to these areas, especially media. And it's important for us to be equipped, not only as parents, but as Christians, how to deal with these issues. All right? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that we can apply these principles to our lives, specifically regarding this area of media. And Lord, the avenues that we are now have available to us in the world that we live. It's an undeniable fact that our world is growing in technology. Things are available to us now that we've never had before. Lord, it's a good thing if it's used right. It's a wonderful tool of communication and of testimony and witness. But Lord, it can be very dangerous as well. Help us to be very wise, Lord. Help us to be vigilant as parents and Christians, knowing how to respond, how to protect, how to watch. Lord, I pray that you'd help us in this. Help young people, Lord, especially to grow in this area. It's easy just to take something because it's there and it just becomes a part of our life without us even ever testing it, proving it. Lord, I confess in my own life that's been the case in so many areas. I pray that you'd help, Lord, as we grow, that we might be vigilant and right in this area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.